That's okay?
Hi-ho! It's the Mac Attack.
Shut your mouth! You're not God or my father or my boss! Dude, you wanna step outside? You wanna step outside? Huh? I'm not scared!
Al,
you shut up, dude!
You shut the f*** up!
Go ahead and attack me!
Okay, fuck!
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell.
And this jackass right here asked me, what is my height?
Stand on your toes. Stand on your toes.
No, okay, I want to stand like this.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
I'm 5 feet tall. 4'11". There you go. I want to file harassment charges.
There's no such thing.
That's bull.
Okay, well, then
okay, so let me ask you a question. If I ask the girl how big her tits are, is that harassment?
No.
What? You're kidding
sexual
me.
Sexual harassment isn't just much good.
Well, let me tell you something. I am fed up. Everywhere I go.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from work we go.
Women in general have said it on dating sites.
Hi-ho, 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 hi-ho.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
I'm fed up.
He said sorry. I don't know what you want from me.
I don't believe this. Sorry. I want to file some kind of a report or something. Anything.
Oh, Bagel Man, the gift that keeps on giving to us all, not just here in Las Vegas, but worldwide. Welcome into the Mac Attack. How's everyone doing here on this fine Thursday? Good to talk to you. Here with the next hour from 2 to 3, holding it down. Very exciting news coming up in about 20 minutes. Joined by the friend of the show, our pal Cody Decker. Cody just walked away from baseball a couple nights ago, made national news. Hitting a walk-off home run for the Reno Aces and promptly retiring from minor league baseball, from Major League Baseball, right? As the all-time, or at the current time, home run king of minor league baseball. 205 home runs, and he walked away at 32 years old. We're going to have Cody on to talk about that. Juiced balls, as you know I'm slightly obsessed with. Juiced baseballs. Clarify that. It's just off to a roaring start. Way to go, dummy. So Cody's going to be able to talk juice balls, talk the future 2019 season, look ahead past the All-Star break, and get his thoughts on Jen Sturger, his wife, Jennifer Decker, formerly Jen Sturger. She's a part of AEW, All Elite Wrestling, doing some announcing over there, and Cody is actually in Jacksonville getting ready for All Elite Wrestling's next show, which will be Saturday. Is Cody Decker going to be a pro wrestler? Hope not. Baseball's a lot safer. Stick to baseball, Cody. Maybe get back in, maybe unretire. You're thinking about going into pro wrestling. So we'll talk to Cody coming up here shortly. But you heard it in the intro. Bagel Man Nick making the rounds. I mean, that was a true viral sensation in every sense of the word.
He was interviewed by Barstool Sports.
No.
Yeah?
Come on.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it. Do we have audio?
No, it was just written.
Oh, that's too bad. Especially with all that anger. And that accent, I feel like that's meant for the radio.
I had found the other videos that he does.
He has other videos.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it. It's not just the one video.
But is it great? Is it great? Because I got to be honest. Just back up.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I see the initial video. The Bagel Shop, the Bagel House, whatever. It's Bagel Boss, actually, I think is the technical name of this place in Long Island. Bagel Boss?
Yep.
Okay. I see that. You heard the audio. We played it or we talked about it yesterday. Everyone was talking about it. Steve Cofield went on his show and tried to make the case for this guy being a champion of little people, people under sub 5'5". I don't know where he was going with that. This guy is a threat to society. That's where my take lies on this whole Bagel Man incident. So we saw it yesterday. He's losing his mind at Bagel Boss. He's yelling at all the women. He's upset that women on dating sites make fun of his height. First of all, a little PSA to Bagel Man. I don't know who Bagel Man is, but I would just say, man, as a rotund, pinkish, balding, gray, 35-year-old in America, who is also, you know, 5'9", I'm kind of short. Stop worrying about things you can't control, man.
His name's Chris Morgan.
Okay, Chris Morgan. Stop worrying about things you can't control. This is the hand you've been dealt, you know?
Yeah, he's a 4'11", 5 foot.
Oh, God. He's sub 5 foot?
Well, you heard it in the intro. Yeah, he says it. I'm 4'11". I'm 5 foot. Let me see if I can single that out.
Hey, and props to you. I never knew that we would find an excuse to use Skilo on an intro to a show.
I'm glad you picked that up. Thank you.
That was the jam, I believe, of 1994. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Chris Morgan, the bagel guy, he needs to watch that video.
Yeah.
He needs to soak in the words that are being said. I mean, Skilo is getting clowned on in his own video that he's in. I mean, he's making fun of himself, and that's the beauty of it. He's embracing the fact of it. Yeah, he's talking about, I didn't even get picked for the basketball team. I had to go sit in the stands with the girls who were there watching their dudes play ball.
So I plotted to steal their women. At least I would hope that would be the plan of attack.
So yeah,
kill him with laughter, Kilo.
If you watch some of these videos and you hear his words, he is obviously angry. But he's angry.
That's an understatement.
He's angry because he just recently got divorced. I guess I don't know how recent it is.
Shocking.
Yes.
I'm slack-jawed.
He claims to be living out of his car.
Also shocked.
He lost. He runs his own cleaning company, but he lost some major gig or something like that. So he's apparently he's just in a world of hurt, and he's also angry at the female gender because they constantly reject him and say stuff like, "Oh, you're only how tall are you? You're 5 foot. You should die." I mean, now that is pretty messed up. I will get his.
But who says? No one says that to anyone
on dating sites. That's what he says. Even in you heard it in the audio. They say it to me on dating sites. You know, and look, I get it. He's a Napoleon complex, having you know what, just extremist, whatever you want to say. But you kind of feel bad for the guy just a tiny little bit, just because of the fact that he constantly gets berated with the short man questions. And, you know, and because you see in this other video, he goes to pay for his cup of coffee and his donut. And the first thing the guy says to him is, "Hey, how tall are you?"
Yeah.
And that's when he starts this video of the second video of like.
Yeah, I am coming from a very judgmental place here.
I mean, because you admit you're of a rounder type.
Yeah, I have been judged for that.
OK,
yeah.
So would you like it if you were constantly being asked about that?
I feel like a fat guy in America, you are judged. I mean, like as a fat person in general, but I actually tweeted this out yesterday. That's like half of America. So at the other time, I just kind of feel like I'm being on brand. I being fat in America really isn't a thing. Being sub 5 foot is a thing.
Yeah. Especially like, for a guy.
Yeah. It's a hard draw. It is. And there are women out there that say I have, you know, regulations. I don't date anyone under 5'9" or whatever.
Well, in this case then, and I'm not making slight of this, but he needs to go for girls that are extra short. Like he needs to go after midget girls.
Wait a minute.
Or dwarfs.
Or wait, you may not even have to do that. Why don't you go out and find the swath or the section of ladies that have a short person fetish?
Yeah. I'm sure there are.
There
are plenty of ladies who like guys who have money, period. I don't care if you're short, tall,
well,
or whatever.
Well, he lives out of his car, so that's problematic.
Okay, so but my point is that he's looking at this all wrong. He thinks it's just about money or being tall. No, it's like, dude, if you have a fat bank account and a good attitude or just even a great attitude,
and you could
have the gift to gab, you know what I mean? Just hustle the ladies with your words.
Yeah. Tell me about it, Nick. How do you think I got my wife? I'm 5'9" and like 300 pounds. It's like,
but you're very confident. So
can be short and confident is what I'm saying.
This guy's very confident.
Well,
he's very confident.
Is he? I feel like it's just blind rage more than confidence. But this is kind of what hurt my feelings, Nick.
What?
Is yesterday, I thought Bagel Boss was authentic. I thought the viral video that went yesterday was
a one-time
new
thing.
And a one-time thing. And the man was having a meltdown. And it was just, you know, a product of the circumstances, right? Come to find out, Chris Morgan has a YouTube page. And come to find out that he is prone to many, many public blow-ups.
So you've been doing your homework.
Yeah. He actually had one in a department store. Looked like it was like a changing room. And he got into it with looked to be a Latina woman who was filming him. He was, you know, going full Bagel Boss on her, screaming profanities and everything. Then he calls her a ghetto hood rat. So then now it's starting to take on like different tones and connotations. Like, that's kind of racist. You're talking to a person of color and you're calling him a ghetto hood rat. I mean, it's. I think I need to draw too many conclusions there. You might be racist, Chris Morgan. And then there's all these videos. So it lends me to believe. I don't know where the act begins and where the person stops or vice versa, right? I don't know what I'm watching. Is Chris Morgan just going out trying to go viral and end up on Barstool Sports? Like, is that what we've become, that there are just people out there trying to hollow out niches in the viral sense? Like, I'm going to be the angry bagel dude. I'm going to be the husband who pranks his wife. Or, like, I feel like everyone's got, like, a niche and a gimmick on the internet.
And it's like the him being the yell short guy.
Yeah, I feel like the short angry guy hasn't. I mean, this drummed up a lot of conversation across America. I mean, Cofield was doing it, saying he was a champion for little people, and he was just speaking his mind. Now, I think Cofield was laying it on a little thick. I don't hope he doesn't actually believe that, because this dude is a danger to society. Like, if I saw him screaming at women like the way he was at that Bagel Boss, he would have got tossed.
You just brought it up. Maybe this is his gimmick, his spiel. Maybe this is what he's been wanting to do. Maybe he's not really this mad, and he's just faking it.
Either he wants to go viral by getting his ass kicked, or he wants to get his ass kicked and then sue somebody.
Or maybe he even had that guy planted.
That could be. Now, he did. Now, see, the reason I bring up the sue word is because there was one instance where the clerk at the gas station, this other video that I think you brought up, asked him how tall he was, and he went crazy. He called the cops.
Yeah, he got the cops there.
Cops come in, and they're like, listen, we can't file a report. The only, jokes aren't illegal. He's like, well, it wasn't funny. Cop's like, I didn't say it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. But, I mean, the only thing I can do is go write a report and say this guy said some words that upset you. He's like, all right, we'll go do it. The cop's like, all right. Oop, Mike jumped away from me. Time to take a break. Saying no, Big Mac. Get off.
Damn Mike booms.
For real. No, but he essentially said, okay, we'll go outside. We'll take care of it. This guy is a snowflake. And he does need to own it. Look at Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is so short. Now, bank account helps. But you make fun of it. You make fun of yourself being short. My pal, Mark Raimondi, from the MMA media, works for ESPN now alongside Errol Hawani and our own local Brett Okamoto. Mark's like 5'3". We make fun of him all the time, and he's great about it.
That's not, 5'3". That's tough.
He might be like 5'5". I don't know. I'm short selling him. Either way.
Yeah, you know, you just got to own it.
I guess.
And you got to just find, like you said, your Amazonian woman that just is cool with having a little cuddle buddy.
They're out there.
be the small spoon for your big woman.
Cuddle buddy, let's do it. Let's hit it. It's time for the opening round.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for the opening round. Sponsored by our friends out there at VIP Collision. They're out there in Henderson at 323 Sun Pack Court. You go down there. You mention my name, Ryan McKinnell, Big Mac, 920 The Game, Sports Radio, whatever you want. Let's go over there and mention. You're going to get 10% off any order that you get done over there at VIP Collision. And even if you don't need work done, I say this ever so often, they have their shop bulldog down there, Gray. He's a little English bulldog. He's buddies with my bulldog, Pauly. Go down there and say hello to him. Go down there and give him some company. Give him a treat.
You know there's dog lovers out there who will.
That's what I'm saying. And English bulldogs, man. Are you kidding me? People love English bulldogs. Can't go wrong with English bulldogs. Now, it's talking about short guy, bagel guy. He's on the other end of the spectrum. Tomorrow, and I don't want to jinx this, is I have purple and gold mic flags on here in the studio. We're going to go from a very short man that we were talking about to one of the largest individuals in the world. I don't like it. I don't want to tease it. I don't want to jinx it because I still can't believe it's going to potentially happen. But tomorrow on the show, we may have one of the biggest superstars in sports on this show.
Very interesting.
It's looking like it's going to happen.
I wish I could say I got this interview for you.
Yeah, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know how this man agreed to do this interview with me. I don't want to promo it because I don't want to bring that karma down on the show. Just keep an eye on Twitter later tonight. It's going to be a pre-record. Hopefully, we're going to talk to this man at 5 o'clock. But when I say he's one of the biggest personalities in sports, and one of the greatest NBA players to ever live.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Andre the Giant. Darn it.
Well, that would have been hard. Throw a seance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought you were really building this up. Like, we got this guy from the grave. We brought him back. One of the greatest all-time interviews you will ever hear.
Now, this should be good. So that's a little tease for you. Keep an eye on my Twitter, at Ryan McKinnell, after the show. And speaking of keeping an eye on things, this Saturday, Vegas, you know, I talk about it all the time. I'm a gamer. I like my ultimate teams and my online and my Diamond Dynasty. You know, I get into the other games too. Like, I like, you know, GTA 5. I'm not like big RPG guy or anything like that, but I do like my online sports games. And this Saturday, not just me, but all of Lotus Broadcasting. So I'm talking Comp. I'm talking Point. I'm talking ESPN Las Vegas, Fox Sports, all your favorite hosts, analysts, personalities. We are all going to be down at GameWorks out there at Town Square right off the boulevard, right? We're going to be down there starting at 6 o'clock. It is a full-on Lotus Broadcasting Summer League party. You're going to be able to challenge us in video games. We're going to have food and drink specials. We're going to have tickets to give away.
We're going to have prizes to give away, shirts, all that good stuff. That's going to be going down. It's Lotus Broadcasting's official Summer League party this Saturday at GameWorks, all right, 6 o'clock. So you can come down there, hang out with all your favorite radio hosts, and you can see Steve Cofield if we can get him down there. Steve isn't much of a video game guy, but I think he'll come down to support the cause. So Lotus Broadcasting Summer League party going down there this Saturday. Might even have a few NBA players stop by and say hello. So get on down there. Come and hang out with us. Challenge us on the sticks. You think you got NHL 19 skills? Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
I was going to say, do they still even call them the sticks?
I call them the sticks because I'm old and gray.
That's why I was just making sure.
Yeah. I don't care about what kids call them. I don't care about what you kids are doing. I don't care about the words you're using. I don't care. You don't exist.
Psych.
You don't pay taxes.
Psych.
You don't influence my life.
Psych.
I don't have kids.
Psych.
So I don't care about your kids. But you still should come out to GameWorks and hang out with us. Because I will Debo your child. I will absolutely destroy him in video games, and I will humble him. Do you have a cocky child that thinks he's better than he is or she? Do they think they're special? Bring him on down to GameWorks at 6 o'clock and let me beat their ass in video games.
I will be signing my 15-year-old up. But if he beats you, then that's going to be bragging rights.
Well, if he beats me, I'll buy him a beer. Can I do that? Oh, wait.
You can buy me the beer.
I'll buy you the beer.
Congratulations, Paul. You won your father a beer.
There you go. Well, that worked. Play for your father's approval, right? I feel like that's a huge motivation, not just for the Lotus Broadcasting, but for all young boys out there.
He needs that, all right?
All right, speaking of motivation, this is one of the wildest stories I have heard in a very long time. Josh Norman, cornerback of the Washington Redskins, is in Spain currently. He is in Spain because he's in Pamplona. And we know what Pamplona has, right? The running of the Bulls.
Doubles.
Doubles. I can't believe it. It's not registering with me, but I have seen a video of Josh Norman in Pamplona leaping a gigantic horned bull. Now, this comes on the heels of two Americans being critically injured in Pamplona, okay? Critically. One of them, I think, might die. Every year, it's seemingly someone dies or a couple people die, or every other year, people die in Pamplona. It is a serious roll of the dice. And Josh Norman, one of the more higher paid corners in the league, I didn't look up his salary, but we all know Josh. We know him because he's really good at his job. Is out there risking it all. Listen, Nick, we talk about this all the time, like in contracts. Remember when Big Ben had his motorcycle accident? Like, there are some things in your contract that you just can't do.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like,
who signed off on this?
Who in their right mind is not going to be like, get his agent on the phone? I just saw this video of our cornerback jumping a bull, not just once,
no,
but twice.
Yeah, this is nuts.
And the bull recognizes that he's coming after him. But, well, just to set it up, the bull is surrounded by what looks like maybe 400 people.
Yeah.
And the bull doesn't know, you know,
which one to stick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he's got his eye on Josh, and Josh comes running, and I'm telling you, that boy got hops. Holy moly.
Yeah, he's one of the best athletes in the world currently.
He jumped this bull. He probably could have cleared like four bulls.
Now, if a horn sticks him up the ass, and he goes from best athlete in 2019, one of the best, to...
He looks like JPP, like dumbass, just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you have a horn up your ass.
But yeah, the bull sees him and like... lifts his head up.
You can't blame that on dyslexia.
The bull lifts his head up like to actually try to stick him. Not like, you know, violently, but he does like acknowledge that Josh is jumping him.
Yeah, it's not gentle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing that this guy has that much cojones or whatever the word is.
I would say stupidity.
That too.
When you're raking in millions and millions and millions of dollars every single year, and you think that, hey, as an active top corner in the league, I'm going to head over to Pamplona and do running of the bulls. But this is an all-time dumb move. I can't, like Donald Cowboy Cerrone's a guy in MMA that you know, he almost died scuba diving, he almost died rock climbing, he almost died snowmobiling. He's insane, but he's a fighter.
To push that edge.
And he's also not making, you know, tens of million dollars per year.
Yeah.
If he was, I have a feeling he would take it a little bit more easy. My point is this stands out as one of the craziest things I've seen in sports. Now, there is a small caveat, a small ray of sunshine peeking through this blood-soaked horn of an afternoon. Dan Snyder. I hate Dan Snyder. I can't say
that. Won't argue on that one.
Yeah, I don't know anyone. There aren't a lot of people going to bat for Dan Snyder, and for good reason. He's kind of a clown. This kind of made me happy. that, you know, it upset him in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Made him feel some sort of way.
Yeah.
Maybe got little sweaty palms.
Messed with his money.
Messed with his money a little bit.
Playing with my emotions, Smokey.
That's right. Playing with my money is like playing with my emotions.
I don't really blame Josh. I know you say it's stupid, but it's like homeboy has a fat bank account. If he gets hurt, he's probably like, you know what? I don't care. I'm out here doing me.
If he gets hurt, it's the dumbest retirement in the history of sports. Like, hey, Josh, why aren't you playing football anymore? I got the itch to go be wild and flew over to Spain and got gored by a bull.
As opposed to the best retirement, Cody Decker walking off with the home run and the AAA baseball
that's right.
Who's coming up here as our guest.
There you go. Nice segue. Yes. That is absolutely true. Cody Decker coming up in about 5 minutes.
The
here
worst?
On the
I
Mac
don't know
attack.
If it's the worst. I mean, is it stupid because you ended your career due to a bull? But then again, I just go back to the fact that, like, he, in his mindset, I'm just pretending like I know where he's at in his mindset, but it's just like, yeah, I got enough in my bank account. This is something I've always wanted to do. I'm in the prime of my physical health. Why would I want to do this like 20 years from now or 10 years from now when I might not be able to jump as well and run with the bulls as well? You know, like, I'm a bull now. I want to run with the bulls. I want to jump a bull. So, I mean, and then he goes back in the locker room and he looks like a G. I mean, come on, the swag goo on this guy walking in the locker room next season.
Well, I will say this. From a confidence-building standpoint,
yeah,
that is a good point.
I mean, jumped a bull twice.
What are you going
to
say?
What are you going to do to me now? I jumped a bull twice. What do you got?
That's true. There's some serious armor that would build. Oh, you said it. It would be one of the dumbest retirements of the history of sports if he actually got gored by a bull and had to step away, but it didn't happen. So, yeah, I guess tip of the cap to you. I got a story about Mike Vrabel. I was going to get to it. We're going to save it for tomorrow.
That looks like an interesting one.
I don't know what type of conversation that's going to kick off.
Could you just, tease the people real quick of what he said?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel said he would cut off his Johnson to win a Super Bowl. So I guess tomorrow we'll revisit that. And what would we cut off and for
what? I was wondering. That's what I thought you might get to. What would you do?
There you go. All right, coming up next here on the Mac Attack. He is recently retired Major League Baseballer. Cody Decker, he went out with a bang on Friday night, hitting a walk-off home run. His minor league leading at the time, 205th of his career. And what did he do? He promptly stepped away from the game, retiring after a walk-off. That's how you do it, Cody Decker. It's coming up next on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Swing and a drive, hit the deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone! It's gone! The Aces win! Cody Decker with a game-winning two-run home run. And the Aces have walked off Sacramento. 10-9 is the final. Decker jumps on top of home plate, and his teammates jump on him. What a game. What a finish. Cody Decker with a two-run home run to left center field, and the Aces win 10-9.
That was just on Friday night. The Reno Aces taking care of the Sacramento River Cats, courtesy of a walk-off, well, by the man that is coming on this show right now, Cody Decker. At the time, Cody, you hit that home run. You were the current active leader in minor league baseball for home runs. But after, buddy, no longer, because you retired right after the game. That's the way you do it, my guy.
Oh, no, there's no better way to do it than that. If anyone else tried to, I mean, good luck. I mean, you had to make the decision post-game. I told the Diamondbacks 2 days earlier. I told my teammates a couple days earlier. That was going to be it for me. And, it just happened to end like that. It was a very Roy Hobbs moment, only instead of winning the pennant against the Pirates, we ended up being 4 games under .500.
Well, also, I like the Roy Hobbs comparison, but it is kind of true, right? In the sense that you went from, I don't want to say relative unknown. You spent the majority of your career in minor league baseball, but after this moment, man, it resonated with so many people. You were on SportsCenter. You were in the LA Times. I mean, you went national for this, and I think it speaks volumes to the moment and how you went about it and really how you went about your career. And I know we've only known each other for about a year.
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, sorry. I completely lost you there. No, I've been around. I mean,
people, absolutely.
I've luckily put my face out there a lot of times, whether it was,
I think we might have lost Cody again.
Circles, but I'm a name people shouldn't know, but I've kind of gone out of my way to change that.
All right, Cody, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. We'll try to power through it. If I lose you, we will link up next week and have this conversation, because I've really been looking forward to chatting with you. Let me ask you this. You said that you talked to your teammates beforehand, right? You let them know, you let the Diamondbacks know. What led to this decision at 32 years old to step away from the game?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I was at a point in my career where, you know, it was the same view every day. It was like that Nine Inch Nails song. Every day is exactly the same. And I was at the point where I wasn't really in a position to get an everyday start. So the idea of me getting back to the big leagues in the last couple of years has been not all that attainable. And I'm not getting enough of bats either for them to sell me to Japan or Korea. So it's at the point where, man, I'm just kind of playing off the bench in AAA. And it's not because of any other reason that I'm just not, I wasn't their guy. I was assigned free agent in my 30s. You know, they have young talent that they're going to give opportunities to over me. And they even told me this year, they wanted guys to learn from me. And that was basically it. They wanted me to go out there and handle my business properly and, you know, and just play my game. And they knew if they just played me, I was going to play out of my ass. But unfortunately, they just weren't going to give me the opportunities to do so. So I had a lot of pinch hit at bats, of which I'm actually quite good at pinch hitting now. I wish I was that good at it when I was in the big leagues. But it's just it was just time, and I had some opportunities off the field that I just couldn't turn down.
All right, so you talk about those opportunities off the field. I read that you're working with a nonprofit, right? I also read that you're getting a national radio show with, you're a friend of this show as well, your wife, formerly Jen Sturger, but now Jen Decker. Obviously, I know she's been doing stuff with All Elite Wrestling. I want to touch on that here in a second. But, yeah, you guys got a radio show that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, we signed a 3-year contract with Entercom, the radio.com sports. We're going to have a daily live 3-hour radio show. And it's basically just going to be Jen and I, and everyone's going to really get a good look at our dynamic through the window of sports. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait to work with her. It's one thing to marry your best friend. It's another thing to be able to work with her daily.
Right. I can't even imagine. That's got to be super exciting. And as I said, I've had Jen on this show and on ESPN. I think I was doing Tyler Bischoff's show. I had her on as well. Supremely knowledgeable, obviously, in sports. But more so than just knowledge, Cody, and I think this translates well for you as well, the passion. There's the passion behind it, which is obviously going to do well for you when you're doing a daily 3-hour show.
Oh, yeah. And plus, we're both very passionate about our opinions, and they're not always linked up, so you'll probably see us plenty of butting heads. We should probably add a segment where we meet up with a marriage counselor to undo the damage we did throughout the week.
Future divorce court with Cody and Chet Decker. All right, man. So let me ask you this. I think the other big, cool little side note to your kind of career in Major League Baseball, obviously there's the walk-off, the way you retired. That is a storybook ending in so many ways, but I think there might be a lot of people that don't know. In 2017, man, you were a part of that Israel team at the World Baseball Classic that did incredible things. First of all, you swept your way through the first round, knocking off 3 top 10 teams in Taiwan, the Netherlands, and South Korea, and then you also went out and beat Cuba. Now, obviously, you didn't win the World Baseball Classic, but you took a ton of people by surprise. You were a leader on that team, so when you look back at those two accomplishments, which one means more to you?
You know, it's kind of a toss-up. The reason, I think one kind of lends itself to the other, and here's why. That team on Team Israel was filled with a bunch of guys that were just like me.
Right.
Guys who played their whole career, who have been passed over and, you know, up and down occasionally, but never really given an opportunity. We're all really damn good ball players. It was a great opportunity for us to kind of, you know, show you, listen, not only do we belong here, we're better than you, and you guys have undervalued us our entire careers. So we had a little axe to grind, and I remember after we won the first tournament, they said the biggest surprise in sports, and we're like, to who? We knew we were going to win. We knew how good we all were. There was our first 5 hitters had like 800 career home runs between all of us. We were feeling pretty confident. You know, people were looking at the sexiness of the name of Ike Davis, and we're like, well, let's not forget about me. Let's not forget about Ryan LaVarnway. Let's not forget about Nate Freiman, Ty Kelly. These are all guys that can play, flat-out play in the big leagues. And, you know, we just haven't had that shot. So us getting that shot to kind of turn heads and be like, oh, you know what? There are some non-stars out there that can really compete. That was awesome. It was the best because it was just a big middle finger to everybody.
I love it. We love middle fingers here on the Mac Attack. We're here with Cody Decker. All right, let me ask you this. We know you like to hit the long ball. That's kind of your thing. The home run derby obviously was earlier in the week. I want to ask you a question, okay? Was Pete Alonso the actual home run king from that home run derby? I know he won it, but Cody, when you're Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and you go out and you break the record for a home run derby by 30 home runs, the prior record was 61, Vlad hit 91. Who's your real champ of the home run derby this year?
Pete Alonso.
Okay. All right.
Don't make rules in a bracket play. He also got a chance to hit a lot more home runs because he went through multiple tiebreakers against another guy who I also kind of got a little screwed over in Jock Peterson. So if you're going to tweak the rules every year and make a new stipulation because you're so desperate for people to watch your product, even though it was fine the first way, you know, then that's your problem, not mine. Pete won fair and square based on the way they made the rules.
All right.
A couple years ago, it was total home runs. But how can the total home runs going to have five tiebreakers?
Yeah, that's a fair point. And you bring up a great point there as well when you talk about, hey, man, if you're trying to bring people in, don't be surprised when it comes back and bites you in the ass. And I've been talking about it now for months on this show. Cody, these juice balls, I don't think there's any denying it. I actually just found out that Rawlings is owned by Major League Baseball this week, which threw a whole nother, I guess, cog in that conspiracy wheel that I got going on, right? You heard Verlander's comments. I know you probably heard Pete Manfred and the things that he was saying. What is your take on this whole kind of landscape of Major League Baseball right now and the controversy surrounding the juice baseballs?
Well, one, the balls are juice. We're using them in the PCL this year. The fact that the balls don't have the word Titleist written on the side is a joke.
I think that was a knock to golf. Absolutely. Listen, I completely agree with you. Here's my whole sticking point with the juice balls thing. The idea is to bring in new fans. Okay, Manfred, are they coming? The answer is no. So stop pushing away the fans that are already there, the people who already love baseball. Cody, you know this. Baseball is such a numbers-oriented game. I already lived through a generation where I didn't know if 62 meant 62. The last thing that I want is Christian Yelich to come out this year, hit 62, and then let me sit here be wondering if it's legit.
Yeah, well, you also got the 70 that matters, and you got the 73 that matters. Or do they? I don't know.
Right.
Because the former, he said Bud Selig come out saying that him breaking the record was a nightmare. I'm sorry it was a nightmare to you. This is just what happened. I'm sorry that if the game seems tainted to you and our record books are tainted to you, this is just what has been taking place for years. And now juicing up the balls, whether or not they did it intentionally or not, it is the reaction to whatever has been done. For instance, I'll give you an example of how crazy this is. The PCL, which is known to be a hitter's league, I led the PCL in home runs in 2014 with 27. It was a hell of a year. The team leader on my team has 29 at the All-Star break, and he spent a month in the big leagues.
Mm.
Like, it's absolutely crazy, and I don't know if it's an idea to bring in fans. I don't know if it was a thing to drive down prices for pitchers later down the road when it comes to the contract negotiations. But all it's doing is probably driving up the price of offensive players. So if anything, if that was the idea, that it's backfiring, it's kind of a mess. I don't see the purpose of juicing the baseballs at all. I mean, keep in mind, these same balls, big league balls, they do also help pitchers in a certain way because they do move drastically more. Especially if you're a spin rate pitcher who throws hard.
Right.
It does change how pitchers are thrown. But, you know, you see home runs are way up. Strikeouts are also way up. But balls that should be caught are all of a sudden going six rows into the stands.
Why is baseball so reactionary? Why do they constantly go about this? I want to get to some of these Atlantic League rule changes here in a second, but why is baseball constantly, you know, worrying about itself when you've been around for 160 years? I know you're not America's pastime anymore, but I just feel like that's the ebb and flow of the public and what they choose to consume. I always felt like baseball will always have a place for the reasons it's nuanced. It takes a little bit of time to enjoy, a little bit of understanding, a little bit of patience. Why is baseball? Why is Manfred? Why is there so much worry and concern about changing this game to try to make it to digestible to people, frankly, Cody, that I don't think you're ever going to really turn that corner with? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's ever going to happen. And the idea of adding rules certainly is going to happen. You know, adding more rules to make more confusion. Now I got to explain someone that's stealing first base. It's hard enough to explain a drop third strike. Now I got to describe it for the entire at bat. which they're trying to implement over in the, what's that league called?
It's the Atlantic League, and you're making a reference to some of these new rules that they're unveiling for the second half. One of them is batters may steal first base on any pitch not caught in flight. What?
Yeah, and my problem with that is that's going to put a hell of a beating on a lot of catchers. Now catchers have to worry about blocking every potential pitch, so now they have to change their positioning. That changes the idea of having an easy primary position or a secondary position. A secondary position when a runner on first base, you have to be in a more athletic position. Now if guys are burying pitches early in the count, every catcher has to treat every pitch like it's two strikes. That's gonna hurt some guys. The idea of the robot umps in theory sounds great, but now you gotta strike someone that's not adjusting for pitch hitters' heights, where they stand in the batter's box. That's gonna drastically favor pitchers. Like drastically gonna favor pitchers. It's just everything in baseball is so reactionary. They want to make it more accessible to people, but the one thing they don't do is make the players more accessible to people. They're so bad. Baseball's so scared of pulling the curtain back on the game
right.
to show players as anything other than superhuman.
Yeah, and I think we saw that, how great it can be, right, with the All-Star game on Tuesday night with the All-Astros outfield, and you had Bregman chatting with Springer as Springer's taking a ball off the wall. Now, I understand you probably can't do that in actual games, but my point is, Cody, you got a great window into the personalities into some of the biggest stars in baseball. You just got to figure out a way to sell that.
Well, you still got the other opposition pulling the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You have the other saying, guy fist pumps off the mound. Oh, what a tired act. The guy pumped fist the homer. Oh, what a tired act.
Yeah.
Stop it. Who cares? Pretend that baseball should be fun for just a second. We talked about the WBC. It was the most fun team that I thought was to watch, other than ourselves, because I couldn't really watch us, but it was a lot of fun. We were. But Puerto Rico was a blast. I keep thinking about that tag that was made at second base where he was pointing back at his catcher for throwing him out before the ball was even in his glove.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. We have rallied regularly on this show about the reactionary ways of baseball and how they're hurting their game. But that's where passion comes from. We all love baseball here. We all want to see it thrive. We all want to see it, on some level be America's pastime. But let's transition from baseball. Let's talk about what you are doing right now. You are heading or you are in Jacksonville, Florida. You're heading down to take in All Elite Wrestling. It's going to be going down this weekend. I believe it's their Fight for the Fallen card. It's going to be live on the BR app. Your wife, Jen Decker, which I had her on, we talked about All Elite Wrestling, is a big part of this company. She's going to be handling some duties over there. This is all very exciting. I imagine it's exciting for you to see Jen doing her thing, but just from a professional wrestling standpoint, Cody, listen, we've had Omega on this show. We had Adam Page on. We've talked about All Elite Wrestling. This is a very exciting time for the business of pro wrestling as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, trust me. We're actually driving to Jacksonville right now. Jen's driving the car. And she's just putting up with me talking to you guys. Yeah, we're driving to Jacksonville right now. She's going to be booked for this show. It's exciting. As a wrestling fan, a lifelong wrestling fan, to see some things actually changing finally after 20 years of really kind of the same thing over and over again, to see some legitimate change and some excitement being put out there, especially on social media. Just see people, you already got people just endlessly battling back and forth. Well, who do you got? AEW or WWE? It's like 98 again.
I know.
It's awesome.
It is. It feels good, and that's like one of those things, right? Competition is a good thing. It forces people. It lights a fire under their ass, and it gets them thinking creatively. And listen, this feels different too, Cody, because we're here with Cody Decker. You talk about that competitive fire, and you have people going back and forth on Twitter about AEW and WWE. It does feel like 98, but it also feels a little different in this sense, Cody. It feels like everyone understands that hey, they can both be great, and the business can thrive together. It's competitive, but it really kind of feels like a friendly competition this time around.
It seems like it might be. It doesn't seem quite as volatile. It just seems, but it is forcing both organizations' hands. Like AEW, that pay per view Double or Nothing was just one of the best pay per views I've ever watched. It was fantastic, and you could clearly see it lit a serious fire under WWE's ass, because these last 2 weeks, WWE programming has been the best it's been.
Yep.
And years. Finally, they gave us some great shows. And I mean, yeah, it's probably because of Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff coming.
Yeah, probably.
In, but it's been great, man. And by the way, I'm a complete Paul Heyman guy.
Well, who isn't a Paul Heyman guy, right? Shout out to Paul Heyman. So let me ask you this. I know you talk with people with WWE occasionally. I know we had you on after Royal Rumble to talk about your experiences. You're going down there to AEW. Cody, you're only 32 years old, man. Like, I mean, you could transition. Do you have a future in pro wrestling?
I can pretty much guarantee I have no future in professional wrestling.
What would your gimmick, what would your name be? I know you've thought about it. Come on.
Oh, of course. I've thought of so many gimmicks. I can't imagine, like, busting one out right now. I kind of am a gimmick. Jen Jen already just said I am a gimmick. I'll just be like a Crash Davis guy. I'll just be like this. I'll just be what I was in baseball, a guy that's pretty good that no one actually cares about, but I can pretty good on the mic, and somehow I lose all the time.
That is, man, you are one of my favorite people in sports. Cody Decker, I am going to wish you a big congratulations on your retirement.
Real quick.
Yeah, do your thing.
You gave a great idea. Great idea. I become a new Heath Slater, but instead of I got kids, I got cats.
That'll work. I got cats, man. I got to feed these cats. I like it. I like it. Cody, man, you are truly one of the best guys in sports. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. Enjoy the event this weekend down at AEW, buddy, and enjoy your retirement.
Thanks, man. Fired up for everything that's coming in the future. It's been awesome.
There you go. Cody Decker. There you go. Thank you, Cody. And give a big tip of the cap over there for Jen for hauling your ass around and taking you down
to Jacksonville.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, Cody Decker, want to thank him for the time. He's always gracious with his time. Glad we got those technical difficulties figured out because, as you heard in that interview, I love a guy that doesn't take himself too seriously, and Cody is the epitome of that, talking about, if I was going to be a wrestler, I'd probably be a guy that no one really cares about, and I'd lose a lot, and but I'm good on the mic, and I can entertain people. That is, I think he's going to do very well in his new three-hour show that's going to be debuting nationally with his wife, Jen.
Yeah, he's been doing the same thing for years, the same routine for years. So I'm sure he's super excited to move on to the next chapter of his life.
Well, buddy, I can tell you, I have prepped and I have put in the work to do full weeks of three-hour shows. Tip of the cap, buddy.
Yeah. You've been a professional, what you're doing for how long?
Radio
roughly,
eight.
Roughly.
Eight. Roughly eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even longer, 12?
Yeah, writing, sports writer, 12
and
years.
And even before that, maybe 15 because you really, you're like amateurish, or whatever. But okay, so think of it this way. He's 32. He's been playing baseball probably since he was 5. That's 27 years of doing, not the same thing. Obviously, you didn't do the same thing when you were 5.
Kind
of. But playing baseball for 27 years and just getting not to the point of, like, it didn't sound like he was sick of it, but he was just, like, ready to move on to the next chapter of his life.
I'm not going to be a threat in Major League Baseball. I'm not going to, get my shot that I need to have, so I'm going to move on with my life. I'm not going to
keep healthy.
Absolutely. And, listen, it's great that he got to go out the way that he got to go out. That is awesome. But the grind of minor league baseball is real. Especially when you get to 32 and I'm sure Cody could have had another stint in Major League Baseball. Strictly on just, he can talk about it, pinch hitting, the power that he had. This is very much a strikeout or hit home run league. I think he would have had another shot. But are you going to be a threat? Are you going to get that contract? Is it going to be worth all the grinding and the Renos and the Sacramentos and all those? It's a lot to ask. So I fully understand where he's coming from. And also, he has a great partner in Jen Decker, his wife, who, not only works for AEW, but does a bunch of other stuff. They've got this national radio show that they've got coming out. I mean, that's huge. When you have that sort of support, you have that teammate that you can rely on and kind of pivot to that next part of your career. And I think, I for those of you that listened to the interview, it's easy to understand why we wished him well. He truly is a good dude.
So. Yep. We got to take a one-minute break.
One-minute break? All right. You heard it there. Nick laying down the law. Nick Nice over there on the ones and twos. We are going to take a one-minute break, but when we come back, we'll be back here to finish up the back attack, send you off to your Friday.
Join ESPN Las Vegas this Saturday at 3:30 for a World Series rematch as the Dodgers take on the Red Sox. Brought to you by Aaron Smith, your go-to guy for all your real estate needs. 855-GO-TO-GUY.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Fraternal Order of Eagles, Area 1213, is currently recruiting new members. If you're looking for a way to give back to the community, the Eagles organization wants you. By joining, you can make a difference in the lives of others and your own. Not only that, Eagles members are invited to any Eagles club in the country. It's a safe place for you and your family to get an affordable meal and to meet other Eagle members. To learn more about the Las Vegas Eagles, Area 1213, call Chuck at 374-4501. That's 374-4501.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Every time I hear that Wu-Tang rejoin, I think of our buddy Mark Seidel. Hope you're doing well, Mark. Just talked to Mark. He's in Oklahoma somewhere, heading on his way back to North Carolina. We miss you, buddy. Hope you're doing well.
I made it to Oklahoma City in one drive.
Look at you.
From Vegas to Oklahoma City. It was a trek, boy, but I did it.
Good for you.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
I don't advocate for that out there. Any children listening, pull over, take a break.
My kids were with me. The wife and the kids were all with me.
Okay. All right. If you do as you will, Nick Dice. You are an adult. You are
only caffeine.
You are a grown-ass man. Only caffeine. That's right. Well, we went over this yesterday. You've never done cocaine.
Nope.
Let's take inventory of Lotus Broadcasting. Have you done cocaine? That'd be a good show. Oh, boy. I got a couple minutes left. Should mention David Ortiz. Just had his third surgery. Suffered a setback. I guess complications earlier this week and required a third surgery. Obviously, details have been very scarce in terms of this. I mean, I know there's the chaos surrounding the hit and who did it and how, you know, all that stuff, right? But there's also, outside of the initial reports of him having his gallbladder removed and how serious it kind of was, there haven't been a lot of details on what's just been wrong with David Ortiz. And, hey, I understand it. Like, I mean, give him all the time he needs. Let him be in his hospital bed and no media. I don't want to know. That's not what I'm saying. I think it speaks volumes to just how serious this is. You know what I mean? They're trying to give David the time to recover, and now they're having a third surgery. Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff.
I don't care how many doctors you have when you have internal organs removed. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and then infections.
Even
and,
when you go in there and shuffle things around. My wife had two C-sections.
Yeah.
You go in there, you're moving things around. You didn't remove anything, but you took it out, and then you put it back in.
Yeah,
I'm talking the C-section. It's harder on a woman to do that than it is a regular birth.
Sure.
So, I mean, just think about having it actually removed and such. I mean,
I don't want to think about it too much.
I know, but that's such a sad reality for the guy. I mean,
yeah.
Taking a bullet to the belly is no joke.
No, not at all. We're lucky to still have Big Poppy. We're thinking about you, Big Poppy. We love you, buddy. Not even a Boston fan, but I love Big Poppy. How could you not? One of the greatest guys of the 2000s, 2010s. All right, Mike Vrabel, we're going to talk about you tomorrow.
Chop it off.
Don't worry, crazy bastard.
I don't need it anymore.
I hope he was joking. I got this one note. There's a pizzeria in New York that they're selling an entire box, if you want to order it, of just crusts.
There are people like that out there.
Well, yeah, but isn't that just breadsticks?
I was just about to say, isn't that just breadsticks?
I mean, look at this. I got the picture right here. I mean, I like the way it's set up.
That's funny. We got your pizza crust. Yeah. You mean your breadsticks?
Reminder, going to be down at GameWorks this Saturday at 6 o'clock. Come down. We got prizes, tickets, shirts, and all that good
Swag.
Stuff. And tomorrow, I'm going to be down at the Thomas and Mack for Summer League, and we are going to have a very large guest.
Large.
You may know him as Diesel. See you then.